All right, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim daf Mem Zayin. Mareinu left off at the very bottom of Mem Bava Mabei, so we're going to start from Mem Zayin Amad Aleph, and the rabbi is in Israel for the week, so we will have the opportunity to learn together today through and including Friday morning. The rabbi is back on Shabbos, or the rabbi will be back on Friday, God willing, and will teach the daf on Shabbos. Today's shiur is sponsored once again by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. And also Le'ili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha La'ashalom, and we thank Dr. Landerer for his continued support of the shiur. So today we are going to focus primarily on two related topics, until we get to the Mishnah on Mem Zayin Amud Beis. So the topics that we're going to discuss are topics that we've already hinted at several times throughout the course of the last week or so, and that is the topic of whether somebody has the power to asser something that he owns on somebody else even after it leaves his rishus. So for example, what we know is, and the Gemara has said this, that if I look at my friend's car and I say, Reuven shouldn't be able to have anah from Shimon's car, I can't do that because I can't asser something that I don't own on somebody else. I only have the ability to asser somebody else on what I own. However, the question that the Gemara has been dealing with over the past couple of days, we're going to deal with today, is what happens if I say to somebody that that person can't have anah from something that I own, and then I sell it to somebody else? So is the other person allowed to have anah because it's no longer my object, even though it's the same object? The object hasn't changed, but the ownership has changed. So the Gemara is going to deal with what happens in that situation. In the context of that conversation, the Gemara is also going to discuss what happens if something is asur hana, if somebody's asur to be nene from something because of a neder, what is the status regarding what's called the chilufim and the gidulim of that item? So chilufim are things that the item is exchanged for. Gidulim are the outgrowths of that item. So and the outgrowth generally happens in terms of livestock or in terms of produce, but chilufim could be if I tell somebody that they're not allowed enough from this phone, and then I sell the phone, and the phone I generate money by selling the phone, and then I use the money to go buy something else, that other thing is a chiluf of the phone, and the question is the person allowed to be nene from that? And then we're going to talk about direct hana from chiluf and indirect hana from chiluf. And so it's a little bit of a complicated sugya. And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Mem Zayin Amud Beis is going to, again, talk about what happens if people are noder hana from each other, then they're not allowed to have hana from the other, right? Because the neder goes both ways. But what is the status of certain communal items as to those people? So if Reuven is no deranah from Shimon and Shimon is no deranah from Reuven, they're obviously not allowed to benefit from each other. The question is, what happens if you live in the same community and there is a shul in the community or there are certain other type of communal assets? Are they allowed to have anah from those communal assets, or do we say, well, because everybody in the community has a shutfus in the community-owned items, and Reuven and Shimon aren't allowed to have anah from each other, that neither of them are allowed to benefit from the community-owned items? So we're going to get to that. We're going to start the Mishnah. Hopefully, we are not going to finish the Mishnah because the Mishnah goes over to Mem Ches, and these dafim are rather short, and I, unlike Mareinu, don't have the ability to talk about pilpul for 30 out of the 40 minutes of a daf shir. So we may have a shorter shir, nunu, whatever. So says the Gemara as follows. Again, top of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. So Omer Lechavero. So this is a quote to the Mishnah that we saw on Mem Vav Amud Aleph. And the specific phrase that we're going to be picking up on was the very end of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah told us, Omer Lechavero Konim Lebescha Shani Nichnas. If a person said to his friend, I'm never going to go into your house. I'm never going to buy your field. And then the person who previously owned the house or the field died, or he sold it to someone else, then mutter. Then it's going to be mutter. Why? Because the neder was, I am never going to go into your house. I'm never going to buy your field. So when the house or the field ceases being your house or your field that belongs to somebody else, either because the original owner died or the original owner sold it, then the person is going to allow to be, he's going to be allowed to be nene from that house or that field. However, the Mishnah juxtaposed that with the following case, where if the guy said, konem bayis ze shani nichnas, so dezu shani lokeach, if instead of saying that I'm not going to enter your house, he said, I'm not going to enter this house. So he attached the neder to the chefza of the item and not to the gavra who owns the item. Then, meso shamachor la'acher, asur. Then, if the original owner dies or if he sells it to somebody else, then it's going to be asur. So you could see already why this may have something to do with the concept of somebody asuring something on somebody else even after he ceases to own it. But the case that the Mishnah brought down was a little bit different, because the case that the Mishnah brought down was Reuven was saying, I'm not going to have anah from this house that Shimon owns. And so the question is, did he say in the Lashon of, I'm not going to have anah from Shimon's house, or I'm not going to have anah from this house? Because if Reuven is assuring the item on himself, and he's saying, I'm not going to have anah from this house, then he intends this house. It doesn't matter whether Shimon owns it. It doesn't matter whether Shimon doesn't own it. But it's Reuven who's taking the neder anah on himself. That's different from where Shimon says to Reuven, you're never allowed to have anah from this house. Who says? Shimon has the right to say, you're never allowed to have anah from this house when he owns it. After the house leaves his ownership, not so simple that Shimon is entitled to say to Reuven, you are never allowed to have anah from this house. That is the subject matter that we are going to deal with today. So says the Gemara as follows. Again, top line, Mem Zayin Amad Aleph. So boy, Avimi asks, Konim Labayis Zeh, She'ata Nichnas. Over here, it's not where Reuven is saying, I'm never going to enter this house. It's Shimon saying to Reuven, you have a konam from ever entering this house. So Shimon says to Reuven, you're never allowed to enter this house. So that's the case, that's the question that the Gemara has. If Shimon then dies, or if he sells the house to somebody else, what then is the halacha? And the Gemara explicates the two tzadim of this machlokes. Adam oser davar shebershuso lichashe yetze mershuso. Can Shimon aser this item on Reuven so long as it's presently in his rishus, even after it leaves his rishus, although or not? So says the Gemara as follows. Samar Rava Tashma. So Rava wants to bring a raya as follows. And this Gemara we saw already last week. Zomer Levno, if a guy says to his son, Konem Shiata Neneli, that I'm making a konem that you're never allowed to have anah from me, umeis, and then the father dies, Yershenu, that even though the father made this neder, still the son is going to inherit the father. Now, what we said when we saw this braisa the first time is that because the son takes his Yerusha Medine Torah, it's not considered if he's benefiting from the father, and after he's Yoresh the property, he's deriving Anah from his own property, meaning that if the father says to the son, you're not allowed to have Anah from my property, and then the father dies, guess what? After the father's dead, it's not his property anymore. The Torah says that the father yarshins the property to his son. So, Medine Torah, the property automatically, the ownership vests, it transfers from the father to the son. Therefore, the son is considered to be benefiting from his own property. However, b'chayuv v'moso umeis lo yirshenu, that if the father says to the son that you are not allowed to have anah from my property both during my lifetime and after my death, then the son is not going to be yoresh the father. And we already explained the sheet of the Ran. The Ran over here is very shorthand, but we saw the Ran when we covered this sugya, I think it was last Monday, where the Ran had said that if the son really is Yoresh's father, in other words, when the Gemara is saying lo yirshena, it's not being exact. The son does yarshin his father, because after all, what did we just say about Dine Yerusha? Dine Yerusha are dinim mida oraisa. A person doesn't have the ability to say that the dinim d'oraisa are not going to take effect. So the dinim d'oraisa of Yerusha will take effect. But the Ran explains what this means is that once the son is Yoresh the property, he can't benefit from the property. So in other words, he does Yarshin it, he is Yoresh it, because the father doesn't have the ability to prevent the Dina Yerusha from kicking in. But because the father said that you're not allowed to have anah from my property, then, b'chayav uvamoso, when he specifically said, after my death, then after his death, the son Taka is not allowed to have anah from the property that he yarshins. What exactly is he supposed to do with it if he can't have anah from the property? So the Ran says that what he should do is he should give it to his brothers or his sons, because he can't have anah, but other people can have anah from the property. And furthermore, the Rana says that if he has nothing to eat, then he could borrow money, and creditors can collect from the property, even though he can't direct creditors to collect from the property, because the Ran says that's a little bit of an indirect benefit. In other words, to borrow money and tell the creditors, oh, go collect from this field, then he's directly benefiting from the field that he yarshin. However, if he borrows money and then the creditors come and knock on his door and he says, I don't have any money to pay you back, then if they ask him, do you have any property? And he says, yes, I have this field over here. That's an indirect benefit. He's not directing them expressly to the field, and therefore he's allowed to get hana. He's allowed to get hana that way. The Rashba, however, argues on the Ran, and the Rashba interprets the Gemara Kipshuto, that when it says lo yershena, it doesn't mean that he yarshins the father, but he can't have hana. What it means is that he actually doesn't yarshin the father. So the Rashba is going to have to explain, how is it that the father is able to override the Dini Yerusha, which are Dinim Midoraisa? But the reason that we're bringing this down is because we had a kasha. Is Reuven, or let's be consistent with the personalities here, is Shimon allowed to prevent Reuven from getting Anah from his house even after he no longer owns the house? So again, the case that the Gemara said was, if Reuven says that he's not going to get Anah from this house, and Shimon happens to own it, then it's clear that even after Shimon sells the house, Reuven's not allowed to get Anah because he said this house. Question is, what if Shimon said, you're not allowed to get Anah from this house, Reuven, and then Shimon sells it? Is he allowed to prohibit Reuven from getting Anah from the house even after it's no longer his? And we brought down a case where we said that a guy says to his son, you are not allowed to get benefit from me, b'chaya v'uvamosi, when I'm alive and when I'm dead, and when the guy's alive and when he's dead. And what we said was, emes lo yershena, that if he dies, when he dies, the son doesn't yarshin him. Why doesn't the son yarshin him? Isn't it because that he has the ability to asser his things on somebody else even after they leave his rishus? And when he dies, they obviously leave his rishus because he's no longer alive. He can't own the property. So it's obvious that he's allowed to asser them on his son even after they leave his rishus. So says the Gemara, Shmamina, Adam Osar Davar Sheber Shuso, L'cheshiyetzer Mer Shuso, Shmamina. That the Gemara concludes that a person can asser something that's in his rishus even after it leaves his rishus, and the Gemara takes that to be a conclusive raya. So the Nemuka Yosef just points out that even though the Gemara has concluded that a person can prohibit something that he owns on somebody else even after it leaves his rishus, he can't prohibit the item initially to take effect. He can't initiate the prohibition to take effect after it leaves his rishus, because the whole key here is that initially it was his. So in other words, if he stipulates, Shimon stipulates to Reuven, you're not allowed to have enough from my sadeh, after the time that I sell it to Levi, that he can't do, because the whole basis for the Isser, Anah, is that Reuven is, that Shimon has the ability, rather, to Asur the field on Reuven when it's in his Rishos, and therefore the question is, does that Isser take effect? Does that Isser carry forward even after it leaves his rishus? But he can't have it take effect initially. Now it's interesting because this Gemara uses the Brisa that we first saw last week on Monday, about where the guy says to his son that you are not allowed to have anah from me, b'chayav uvamosi, then the son doesn't yarshin his father. However, the Ran, Rashba, Machlokas had to understand that. And the Gemara uses that as a proof that a person can asser somebody on his nechassim even after the nechassim leave his rishus. When we saw this Gemara last week, the Gemara said that this is not such a great raya, because this is a case where the guy said expressly, b'chayei uvamosi. So where the guy expressly says that the Isser should carry forward, the Isser should continue to take effect even after it leaves his rishos, maybe that's not the same halacha where the guy Stam says, you're not allowed enough from my house. So the Gemara over there left it that there might be a diuk that you can make, although the Gemara over here seems to leave it as a valid raya. Now the Ran just explains over here. This is really talking about the Mishnah where the guy had said that I'm never going to buy your field, I'm never going to go into your house, and then if he said I'm never going to go into your house, then obviously if he sells it to somebody else, then he's allowed to go into the house because he said I'm never going to go into your house. Reuven said I'm never going to go into Shimon's house. When Shimon sells the house to Levi, it's no longer Shimon's house. Therefore he's able to go into the house. Whereas the Mishnah then said that if Reuven says I'm never going to go into this house, then the Isser would apply, whether it's still owned by Shimon, or even if Shimon sells it to Levi, the Isser is still going to apply. And the Ran says that that is a kula, that's rather a chumra, if he says that I'm never going to go into this house, because it's this house even after the ownership is transferred, right? It remains the same house. So the Ran said in that case, it's going to be a chumra that Bayezeh is more chumor than Beischa in the case where the owner of the house sells it to somebody else. However, that Beischa could be more chumor than Bayezeh if the house falls down. So for example, what happens if the house caves in and then Shimon builds a new house? So Reuven had said, I am never going to go into this house. So if he said, I'm never going to go into this house, on the one hand, it's a chumrah, because if Shimon sells the house to Levi, it's still this house, he's not allowed to go into it. On the other hand, it's a kula, because, says the Ran, if he says, I'm never going to go into this house, and then Shimon does a major construction project, knocks his house down and builds up another house, well, that's not considered to be this house, and then Reuven's allowed to go in. Whereas if Reuven says, I'm never going to go into your house, then even if the house falls down or if it's knocked down and then Shimon builds up another house, it's still considered to be his house, and therefore Reuven would not be able to go in. And therefore, says the Ran, that the guy could get stuck both ways if he says, I am never going to go into Beis Chazeh. In other words, it sounds better in Hebrew, but it sounds like in English, it would be like, I'm never going to have anah from your / this house. So if the guy uses both terminologies, he says both your house and this house, if he figures out a way to articulate that sentence in a cogent manner in English or whatever language he's speaking, then it would turn out that he's saddled with chumras on both sides. He's never able to go into this house even after it leaves the rishus of the current owner, nor is he allowed to go into a rebuilt house that the guy builds, because he said, I'm never able to go into your house. Not only am I never able to go into this house. So the Ran just points out that if we're going to say that you're never able to go into your house, meaning he says Beischa, then that would apply even if, let's say Shimon doesn't do a construction project on the site of his old house. Let's say he decides he wants to buy a bigger house in the neighborhood. So he's going to buy a bigger house. So Reuven's still not allowed to go into that house, because the point is, when he says Beischa, it's whatever house Shimon owns, Reuven's not allowed to go into. So again, what the Mishnah, the Ran is just pointing out, that what the Mishnah had assumed was a chumrah is really a kula on the other side, in the case where the house falls down. But there is a way, says the Ran, that you could get yourself coming and going. If you say Beis Chazeh, then you're saddled with the chumras on both sides. Okay, says the Gemara now, two dots about halfway down, Mem Zayin Amid Aleph. Says the Gemara as follows, Tanan Hasam, Konem peros ha'elu alai, if you say that these peros are usur to me, konem heim alpi, konem heim lefi, these are all lashonos of neder, so usur b'chulufeyem u'vigudulayem. So you are usher to eat not only the peros, but you are also usher to eat the gedulim, that which grow from the peros. So that which grow from the peros, obviously peros have seeds. When you plant the seeds in the ground, they grow. And so therefore, if you say, for example, I'm not going to have anah from these figs, I'm not going to have anah from these apples. So when you say these apples, what you mean by gedulim is, let's say somebody eats an apple, and then there's a pit, and then the person plants the pit, and then the seed, and then the seed grows into an apple tree, and new apples grow, so you're not allowed to benefit from those apples as well. What are chilufim? So both the Rosh and Tosfos explain that chilufim is imachron o echlifan asurin demeyem v'chilufeyim, dechashvinan lem kehektish v'tofez domo v'gedule yaktish hektish. Okay. So both, that was Tosfos that I read, but the Rosh says the same thing, that chilufim are exchange items. So if a person says that I'm not allowed to have enough from these apples, and then he sells the apples and converts the apples into money, and then let's even say he buys something else with that money, that's considered to be chilufim of the apples. Those are the exchange items of the apples, and it's going to be usur to him as well. Why? And Tosfos clues us in, because it's like hektish. Because when you say that you're not allowed to benefit from something with a lashon of neder, that's like hektish. And just like by hektish, the item is hektish, and the exchange items are hektish as well. If he makes a neder, also, not only is the item usur to him, but the exchange items are usur to him as well. However, the Rishonim point out that the only time we say that chilufim and gidulim are usur is where the guy makes a neder on a specific piece of fruit or a specific pile of fruit. If the guy, however, says all apples in the world to me are usur, then he's not usur by chilufim and gidulim for whatever reason. He's only usur on those apples. But when the Gemara says that he's usur by chilufim and gidulim, talking about where he goes over to a pile of apples, he says, these are usur to me. Not only is he usur to eat the apples, it's usur for him to eat that which grows from the apples, and it's usur for him to eat the chilufim of the apples as well. Okay, we'll see in a little bit what type of gidulim we're talking about, but not for now. So let's hold that thought. So says the Gemara as follows. Boy, Rami Bar Chama, Amar Konein Peros Ha'elu Al Ploni, if he says that these peros are usur on somebody else, so in other words, now it's not the guy saying, I am not going to benefit from these apples, it's Shimon saying, Ruvain is not allowed to benefit from these apples, Mahu bichilufein, is Ruvain allowed to benefit from the chilufin of those apples? Now the Ron points out a couple of things. First of all, he points out that the Gemara doesn't talk about gidulim. In other words, if Shimon says, Reuven is not allowed to have enough from my apples, then it's pashut, according to the Gemara, that Reuven is not only not allowed to benefit from the apples, but if Shimon eats the apples, plants the seeds, and then they grow into a tree, and then they make new apples, Reuven's not allowed to have enough from that either, because the Gemara is always working with the assumption that gidulim, that which grows from the item, is always more of a direct connection than chilufin, because chilufin, it's not the item itself. In other words, there's no connection to the original item other than that the item was used and exchanged into something else. Whereas gidulim is a much more direct line to the original item. But the question was, that Rami Bar Chama asked was, if a person says that these peros are usur on somebody else, what is the deal with the chilufin? Now, the Ran also says that certainly if Shimon says that Reuven is not a lad of anah from these apples, that Reuven is not allowed to take these apples and convert them into something else. He's not allowed to trade the apples for oranges and say, oh, now they're not apples anymore, they're oranges, and therefore I'm allowed to have anah, because that's considered to be a direct benefit from the apples. So says the Ran, l'chatchila, everybody agrees, you can't cause the item to be exchanged or converted into something else and then benefit from the exchange item. The question is, what happens if they were exchanged? It was b'di'eved, not l'chatchila. L'chatchila, you're not allowed to do it, but b'di'eved, are you allowed to benefit from from the Chilufin. Okay. So says the, so that's the long run here on the bottom. So says the Gemara, Mi amrinan gabe delay hal vi adam oser peros chavero al atzmo, because a person is allowed to aser the peros owned by somebody else on himself, adam oser davar shalo baliolam al atzmo, that he's allowed to aser something that's lo baliolam on himself. In other words, when the Gemara was setting up two cases, one where Reuven says, I'm not going to have anah from these apples. The question is, what the Gemara had said was that if Reuven said, I'm not going to have anah from these apples, not only is he not allowed to be nene from the apples, nor is he allowed to be nene from that which grows from them or that which the apples are converted into, because Reuven could always say, I'm not going to have anah from Shimon's house. I'm not going to have anah from Levi's car. So, of course, Reuven's allowed to asser whatever he wants on himself. So if he's allowed to asser whatever he wants on himself, let's say he's also allowed to oser a davar shaloba li'olam. Now, davar shaloba li'olam throughout Shas always means, or generally means, something which doesn't exist. So, for example, a fetus, a davar shaloba liolam, something that hasn't been born or created, a davar shaloba liolam. This is not a davar shaloba liolam per se, right? Because the item that the apples are being exchanged for, they exist. The only thing is, it's considered to be a davar shaloba liolam because right now they have no shaychus to the thing that is usher to him until their exchange. But what the Gemara is saying is that the person has the ability to aser somebody else's stuff on him, and therefore he could also aser a davar shaloba liolam, the chilufim of the item that he originally said was aser. However, by another person, in other words, Shimon could say that Reuven can't benefit from his items, but Shimon can't say that Reuven can't derive benefit from Levi's items, and because a person has less power to aser something on somebody else, maybe he also can't aser something that's a davar shaloba liolam on something else. And that's what the Gemara says. Two lines up from the bottom, gabe chavero, hol ve'ein adam oser peros chavero al chavero, because a person cannot aser the peros chavero al chavero. In other words, Shimon can't aser Levi's peros on Reuven. Ein adam oser davar shaloba liolam al chavero. A person cannot aser a davar shaloba liolam on his friend. And again, the chilufin are considered to be a davar shaloba liolam because at the time when he made the neder, they weren't in his rishus. And because the chilufin weren't in his rishus yet, because he hadn't yet exchanged his apples for the other item, they're considered to be something that he doesn't own. And just like he can't say to Reuven, you cannot derive benefit from something that Levi owns, also if he's saying, you can't derive benefit from my apples, it makes sense that he can only aser the apples on Reuven. He can't aser what he transfers the apples into, what he exchanges the apples into, because what he exchanges the apples into, he doesn't own yet. So again, the Gemara says, it should be different depending on whether it's Reuven taking the neder on himself or whether it's Shimon taking the neder on Reuven. So says the Gemara, flipping over to Mem Zayin Amud Beis, Odilma, or so I could, so says the Gemara, that's one side. So one side is I could very easily distinguish from a situation where Reuven is taking the neder on himself from the situation where Shimon is taking the neder on Reuven, because Reuven always has the ability to aser anything owned by anybody on him, whereas Shimon only can aser that which he owns on Reuven, and it's considered to be that he doesn't own the chilufim yet because they're not yet in his rishus. Odilma, says the Gemara, Mishum de chilufim ki gedulim dami, loshna ha, loshna u, veloshna chavero. Or maybe because chilufim are like gedulim, it doesn't make a difference whether it's him, it doesn't make a difference whether it's his friend. In other words, it doesn't make a difference whether it's Reuven taking the nether on himself, it doesn't make a difference whether it's Shimon taking the nether on Reuven. Just like the gedulim are always going to be usher, the chilufim are always going to be usher as well. And the Ron explains that the Ron explains that we're not that this doesn't work because of whatever he has das that the neder should be chal on, but because of gzeira d'rabanan that any time a person says peiros elu, then he hasn't then automatically it includes chilufin, just like it automatically includes gidulin. So the Mefarshim explain that it's going to become clear over here from the Hemshech of the Gemara that this only applies to something which is prohibited from ana through a neder. However, something that's usur ba'ana from a Torah prohibition, but I'm sorry, that it applies not only to something which is usur through neder, but also something which is usur ba'ana because of a Torah prohibition like Arla. Now, also, if something is usur ba'ana, then what you're not supposed to do, obviously, again, this is what the Ron said earlier, you're not supposed to lechatchila go sell or barter the item, because that's a form of deriving hana. And that's a form of deriving hana, and therefore when we talk about chilufim again, we should just bear in mind that we're talking about what if it was transferred, but you yourself are not able to, go transfer the item itself. So the Gemara, the two tzadim of the Suffolk and the Gemara are as follows. So if Reuven's taking the nether on himself, he obviously is able to aser whatever he wants on himself. What if Shimon says Reuven can't have anah from my peros? Does that include even chilufim, or does that not include chilufim? So the Gemara says on the one hand, I could distinguish between where Reuven makes the nether and Shimon makes the nether, because Reuven could say anything is usur on him. So just like he could say Levi's peros, Yehuda's peros are usur to me, he could also say Shimon's peros are usur, and the exchange items for Shimon's peros are also usur. But where Shimon only has the ability to usur his items on Reuven, he can't usur Levi's items on Reuven. Therefore, only the peros are going to be usur and the gidulim, but not the chilufim. That was one sad, or the second side that the Gemara now raises on Mem Zayin Amabez, maybe because chilufin are like yidulim, it's all going to be us, or it doesn't make a difference whether it's him taking the neder, doesn't make a difference whether it's his friend taking the neder. So says the Gemara now as follows. The Gemara tries to bring a raya. So Amar Rav Acha bar Menyumi Toshma. So the raya is like this. Ha Omer Leishto, if the guy says to his wife, Konem shani nenet lech, that you are not allowed to get hana from me, that others are gores mahane loch, that I'm not allowed to give you hana. Now the Ron says that we're dealing with a situation where the guy made the neder before he actually got married, and then once it's in effect, it remains in effect even after Nisuin. However, we cannot possibly be talking, says the Ron, about a situation where the guy's already married, and then he says to his wife, you're not allowed to benefit from me. Why? Because once the guy is married, he has an obligation on a daraisa level to support his wife. And that obligation to support his wife cannot be overridden by a neder. So says the Ron, therefore we're obviously talking about a case where the guy and the relationship set up for success, obviously, where the guy before they got married said, you're never allowed to have anah from me. So that's the situation. So the guy says that you're never allowed to have anah from me. So Lava, so she could borrow money, because again, she doesn't have any food, because the guy said that she's not allowed to buy noah from him. So she's allowed to borrow food. Ubalechovin bon vinifraim. And the creditors can come and they can collect from, the bow. They could collect from the Baal. Okay, so they could collect from the husband, because it's not going to be a direct benefit, right? So although the woman is prohibited from benefiting from the husband, his obligation to support her isn't canceled. It's just that she's not allowed to benefit from him. However, she has a lien on all of his property because he remains obligated to support her on a daraisa level, and this is a form of shibuda de Rav Nosson, and therefore the creditor could go collect from the husband. In other words, what the Mefarshim are dealing with here is, why can it be that if she borrows, the creditors are allowed to go collect from the husband? What does the husband have to do with it? She's borrowing money, so let the creditors collect from her. The answer is, because even though the guy took the neder, Hana, that she is not allowed to benefit from him, he was not able to abrogate the chi of midaraisa to support the wife. And therefore, midin shibudu de Rav Nosson. Shibudu de Rav Nosson, again, is that if A owes B and B owes C, so A is allowed to go to C to collect the, or C is allowed to go to A to collect the chov. So therefore, if the husband retains his obligation on a daraisa level to support his wife, and the wife borrowed for sustenance, so the bal chov, so the creditor is allowed to not only collect from the wife, but also collect from the husband as, from the husband as well. So the Mefarshim also deal with why is the husband still on the hook? In other words, why can the guy who gave the woman money collect from anybody? We learned the halacha that if you see a woman who's not being supported by her husband, and you decide that you're going to be very magnanimous, so you want to go support the woman, and you give the woman food, then what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, "Heniach ma'osav al keren atzvi." That nobody asked you to support this woman, so, I mean, you did an act of tzedakah. Why is this guy who's giving money to the woman able to go collect from the husband? Shouldn't we say, you're stuck, you can't, you did a nice act, you did a very nice act of tzedakah, but you're stuck, you can't collect from anybody? The Mefarshim explain that the difference is whether you are on your own initiative giving the woman sustenance because you feel badly for the woman, or where the woman's actually borrowing money. If you stop see the woman suffering, so you give her something, that's an yech mosav al karen atzvi. You lost your money, you don't have a taina against the Baal. You did an act of tzedakah on your own, you were motivated to do it, that's a great mitzvah, but you can't go collect the money. However, over here where the woman is borrowing the money, then the Baal Chov is certainly allowed to collect from the woman's husband. Okay, so says the Gemara now, we're four lines down. So, my time of Balei Chov and Nifrain. So, why are the Balei Chov allowed to collect from, why are the Balei Chov allowed to collect from the husband? Lav mishum de chilufin lav ki gidulin dami. Isn't it because chilufin are not like gidulin? Meaning that if the woman over here, she's making an exchange, right? The Gemara is conceptualizing this as an exchange. She's not allowed to have hana from her husband's property. So she can't benefit directly from her husband. So what does she do? She borrows money, incurs an obligation. She then eats with the money. Then the creditor, the guy who loans the money, will go and get paid back from the husband. So that's considered to be like an exchange, right? That even though she can't directly exchange the husband's property for something else, she initiates a loan that will ultimately be repaid afterwards by the husband's property. That's considered to be chilufin. Now, if the woman is allowed to do this, then we see that chilufin are not like idulin. Because if the husband says, you're not allowed to benefit from my property, and then the property grows something else, she's not allowed to benefit from that growth item either. But even though she's not allowed to benefit from the growth item, she is allowed to benefit if she borrows money. She basically transfers, she's exchanging the husband's assets into this obligation, which is then being repaid. Says the Gemara, Sama Rava, Dilma Lechatchilahu Delo, V'yavad Ovid. No, you have no raya. Maybe Lechatchila, you're not supposed to do this. However, if you did it, then it's going to be okay. B'di'evet. So we have no raya as to whether chilufim are like yidulim or not. But the Gemara says, Ela tashma. Now the Gemara is going to bring a raya from this. Ha-mekadesh ba'arla, if a guy is mekadesh a woman with something that is arla, ain't a mekadeshes. She is not mekadeshes. Why is she not mekadeshes? Tosva says, because arla is asur bahana. If a person gives a woman something for kedushin, that item has to be worth a shava pruta. It has to be worth a minimum amount. This item is considered to be worthless because it's asur bahana. Therefore, it is not mekadeshes. However, let's say you take the item that's arla, machran v'kiddush b'demayem, you sell it, you convert the item into money, and then you use the money to be mekadesh with the woman, harezu mekudeshes. Now she is mekudeshes, even though what she mekudeshes with, the chiluf of an item which was aser bahana, and again, we said that we're comparing something which is aser mishum neder to something that's aser bahana, she's not allowed to get benefit from the arla, but the guy converts it into something else, and then that something else, she's allowed to get benefit from, then it's considered to be mekudeshes, says the Gemara, hachinami lechatchilu delo, v'yavid avid, no, you have no raya as to whether chilufim are gedulim, because everybody agrees that you are not able to initiate the transfer. The only question is, what happens if in a bidyevet situation? So in other words, lechatchila, chilufin might have the same status as gidulim. Just like gidulim are also lechatchila, so too chilufin are also lechatchila. If you're going to show me a situation where she's benefiting, or there's some value conferred on the chilufin, that's only in a bidyevet situation. The Ran explains that la halacha, that if somebody illegally exchanges a prohibited item for something else, you are permitted to benefit from the exchange item b'di'evid, because this is only a suffik midrabanan, and therefore we are going to go l'kula. Okay, so that is the end of the sugya on chilufin and gidulim, and asering something that you don't own on somebody else. Now, we should just mention that the gidulim that we're talking about, the Gemara had always assumed that gidulim is pashut, is going to be usher as an outgrowth of the original item. So the question is does that deal with gidulim where the seed decomposes, or gidulim where the seed doesn't decompose? In other words, where the seed decomposes, is it really still considered to be like a continuation of the same item or not? So the Rishonim deal with that. So let's just start the Mishnah. We're going to finish the Mishnah tomorrow. So says the Mishnah, Hareini Alecha Cherem. If a guy says, I'm not allowed to get Hana, Hareini Alecha Cherem, you're not allowed to get Hana from me, Hamudar Asur. The Mudar, the subject of the Neder, is Asur. Hare Atalai Cherem, I'm not allowed to get Hana from you, Hanoder Asur. The guy who's taking the Neder is going to be Asur. That is Nedorim 101. That is Pashat. Hareini Alecha V'Atalai Shneim Asurim. Again, Pashat. I'm not allowed to get enough from you. You're not allowed to get enough from me. Nobody's allowed to get enough from anybody. Ushneim utarim bedavar shel ole bavel. However, the Mishnah says, concluding the daf, that they are both mutar in the dvarim shel ole bavel. What are the dvarim shel ole bavel? So the Ran says, shefkirum ole bavel akol Yisrael, that the ole bavel were mafkir certain items to all Jewish people, that everybody should be able to get benefit from those items. So in other words, the chiddush of here in the Mishnah, that they're both allowed to benefit from Dvarim Shel Olei Bavel, are that those things are totally hefker, and because they're totally hefker, it's viewed as national property. In other words, it's not viewed as property that everybody has a shaychus in, because if I'm not allowed to get enough from you, and you're not allowed to get enough from me, and there's a community-owned property, nobody should be able to derive benefit from it, because each of these guys have a chelek in the property. But if the property is hefker gummer, then it's going to be okay. They're going to be allowed to get hana from the property. So we'll stop here. We're going to continue with the Mishnah, God willing, tomorrow. I hope everybody has a wonderful day.